So today we're concluding our series on the Psalms, Restoring Your Soul. And we're talking about how God is faithful. By the way, it's worth mentioning back to our Germany trip. Some of us are still jet lagging. One of them is before you. And so please extend all grace. If I happen to snore during my sermon, someone just wake me up. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. As we look at it today, I pray that our lives would be changed. We would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak through me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my rock, my redeemer, and king. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 136, we're going to take it in sections, and you have actually a very special part to play in it today. Today, we're going to have an interactive message on Psalm 136. Psalm 136 is known as an antiphonal psalm. And yeah, Mike, if you can just kill the monitor, that would be really great. So the way that the antiphonal psalm works is it's like a call and response. Now, some of you, when you were kids, you learned this song called Row, Row, Row Your Boat, right? And you did it, and it was around, and different people were singing at different times. So Psalm 136 is structured in such a way that there's statements and a response, statements and a response. There are 22 verses in Psalm 136, and today you're going to memorize half of the psalm. Fully half of it. We've sung about it. You've heard a little bits and pieces about it. We're going to just dive in right now. So, the bold part is your part. I'm not going to ask you to stand today because your legs will get really tired doing this. But I would like you to read with me. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Now, we're several months away from Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, one of my favorite days of the year. One of my good friends, Scott, it's his favorite holiday, and he says it's the one holiday that you don't have to buy anything. I mean, I guess you buy a turkey, but you don't have to exchange gifts and go through all that. So he loves Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. It's a great time to pause and remember how blessed we are. And every one of us is blessed. Would you agree? I mean, we have freedoms that people around the world can only imagine. And having traveled quite a bit of the world this past couple weeks, I can tell you there are many people who would love the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And I'm grateful for this nation. Happy birthday. We are blessed. We're not only blessed with money and freedom, but most of all, we're blessed with Jesus. And we need to pause and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And so often, we're focused on the next thing, the thing we don't have, the thing we want. That it may be an object, something to buy on Amazon. It may be a relationship that's broken, and you're just fixated on, I got to fix this. Maybe there's some internal turmoil, and it's hard to give thanks because you're dealing with heavy stuff. But one of the reasons that we gather together is to be reminded that God is good and faithful, to count our blessings, name them one by one, as the old song used to say, to pause and to give thanks. And I don't know about you, but whenever I stop and give thanks, all of a sudden, my attitude changes, my perspective on life changes. Maybe some of you have done a generosity journal of sorts. I had a friend a few years back, and every day for a month, I think it was, on Facebook, he would post like 10 things he was thankful for. So at the end of the month, he had 300 things that he was thankful for. And when we think about what we have instead of what we lack, we begin to not only feel better about life and be more encouraged, it's an opportunity for us to acknowledge and worship and praise God. This refrain obviously speaks that God's love is faithful and it endures forever. It amazes me. This text was written about 2,300 years ago. It was a song. I wish I could sing it for you. We don't know the melody. But For 2,300 years, people have been singing and quoting and declaring the truth that God's faithful love endures forever. It's timeless. It's not only been sung and read today, but it was also a part of the dedication of Solomon's temple recorded in the book of 2 Chronicles. We're told that when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Now that was a morning, don't you think? Sometimes we talk about, oh, God's going to strike you with fire from heaven, as if that's a bad thing. I mean, I guess it could be a bad thing. In this case, it was a really good thing. It was a really exciting thing. God's presence was manifest literally through fire. Now, I'm sure they were terrified and excited all at the same time. At that moment, there was no doubt that God was real. And it kind of reminds me of a passage of scripture that I've recently been reading where Elijah calls down fire from heaven to take over this altar that's filled with food and water, and the prophets of Baal tried to get their God to do the same thing, and of course, nothing happened. But our God is a good and great and mighty and powerful God, and he's still alive and well 2,300 years later. And some of you know that. And if you don't, I hope you will by the end of this. So here's this fire from heaven. The priests could not even enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. I can't even imagine what that would be like, to have God's presence so real that you couldn't even enter the space. It reminds me of the Holy of Holies, which was a set-apart part of the tabernacle back in the day, where only the priests could enter once a year. And what's exciting about where we live today, on the other side of Jesus, the other side of the cross and the resurrection, is that that curtain that separated the people from God was torn in two when Jesus died on the cross, essentially allowing the presence of God to be expanded from one place to dwell in all believers. Acts 2 had something to do with it as well, the distribution of God into his people through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't fully explain that. I don't totally understand it, but I can tell you that this is the house of the Lord, as we sang about earlier. And God continues to move. He continues to heal. He continues to transform lives. I'm a witness of this. I've observed it many, many times, that God is real and he's powerful. And there's nothing he wants more than your love, your attention, your affection. It's why we sing. It's why we pray. It's why we spend time with God. And we do life with God. So here's a scene, this amazing scene with the temple. Fire comes down from heaven, burns the offering. When all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell down on the ground and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." Family, he is good, and his faithful love endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices to the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. That's a sacrifice. And so the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. The priests took their assigned positions, and so did the Levites who were singing, "His faithful love endures forever." They accompanied the singing with music from the instruments King David had made for praising the Lord. Across from the Levites, the priests blew the trumpets while all Israel stood. Our God is good. He's the God of gods. He's the Lord of hosts. There's no one like our God. And I just can't even imagine this scene. They need to make a movie about it. I don't think they ever have made a movie about this particular scene. But the sacrifices, the singing, the dancing, the praising. I have to tell you, this morning, one of our little people around here was early. We were rehearsing the music, and I look out, and he's dancing back there. Just dancing, listening to the music, and praising God. And I thought, that should be our attitude. So often we come together and were very calm and reserved. And that's okay. There are different cultures and different backgrounds and different peoples. But I don't think there was anyone this day when the fire from heaven comes down that they're just kind of nodding. Like, that's nice. Yeah, I can just see someone. So how was that temple dedication? It was good. Yeah. I mean, they're probably like, it was amazing. Like, this was the most incredible thing. Fire came down. There were tens of thousands of animals. It was just the biggest party. One of the things that we did have a chance to do when we were in Germany, we didn't know this going in, but there's this thing called the Euro Cup. How many of you know what the Euro Cup is? There's like five of you. Okay, a few sports fans. So the Euro Cup is the second biggest soccer event in the world next to the World Cup. So this is almost like the prelude in some respects to the World Cup. And Germany was the host country, and they had 10 sites all across Germany. And so all these European teams, I think there were like 30 or 40 teams, they get together and they just play each other. And we were there. We didn't watch a game in person, but they had a big, like a fan fest, a big area we could walk through and booths and people selling you stuff. And like it was almost like the Olympics. All the excitement of the Olympics, but this is for soccer, which is the biggest sport in the world. They call it football outside this country. And it was just amazing to feel the energy, the vibe. That was nothing compared to what was happening here. The people declaring that God is good and his faithful love endures forever. The theme is echoed again later in chapter 22 of 2 Chronicles. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. How would you like to be a singer walking in front of the army? Singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Can you say this with me, church? Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord who alone does mighty miracles. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights, the sun to rule the day, and the moon and stars to rule the night. And you thought modern worship songs were repetitive. Our awesome God does mighty miracles. He created the stars and the sky, the heavens. He created the earth and the waters. You don't really understand how big our planet is until you spend 8 hours on an airplane and you realize you've only seen a part of it. The recent eclipse caused moments of awe and wonder, and that was just a tiny glimpse of God showing off. So the psalmist at this point, he's talking about God and his creation and his faithfulness, really in the Genesis story. And then he shifts gears a little bit and talks about some of Israel's history. Give thanks to him who killed the firstborn of Egypt. He brought Israel out of Egypt. He acted with a strong hand and a powerful arm. Give thanks to him who parted the Red Sea. He led Israel safely through. But he hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. Now, we don't like to talk about violence. I mean, some of these statements are pretty strong. Maybe if you've never heard it, you're like, whoa, God's doing what? We don't like to talk about violence, but God always has good reasons for punishing those whose hearts are hard toward him. He has a plan for all of our lives, which can choose to follow or we can choose to fight. The only reason that Heather and I are moving south is because we wanted to be obedient and faithful to what God is calling us to do. I must confess, I spent several months fighting this call of God. And that's the only reason we're moving is because God's calling us. People are, how do you know that God's calling you to Findlay, Ohio? Only God could get us to move out of Toledo. The point is, God was and is faithful to those who follow him. Let me say that again. God was and is faithful to those who follow him. And if you choose not to follow him, if you choose to do your own thing, if you choose to get distracted by the stuff in the world, which is always a temptation, don't be surprised if things start to crumble around you. It doesn't mean that it's going to always be easy following Jesus. But I can tell you, you will find peace and joy and happiness and satisfaction in following Jesus that you won't find in anything else. He is good and faithful, and he rewards those who honestly seek him, earnestly seek him, and follow him. Now some more history. Give thanks to him who struck down mighty kings. He killed powerful kings. Shihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. God gave the land of these kings as an inheritance, a special possession to his servant Israel. God is a deliverer. He did it for the enslaved in Egypt. He did it on the cross to liberate us from sin and death. And he continues to bring freedom from addiction, sickness, and bondage today. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for who he is and what he's doing. And I mentioned 22 verses. There's actually a few more. He remembered us in our weakness. He saved us from our enemies. He gives food to every living thing. Give thanks to the God of heaven. What more can I say, family? This is our God. He is faithful forever. The same God the psalmist sang about is alive and active today. He's leading and guiding his people. He's providing for them, and he will never fail them. Our God has been faithful to First Alliance Church for 136 years. And I realized this a few days ago when I was preparing this message, this is Psalm 136, and First Alliance is 136 years old. Kind of cool, huh? He's been faithful, and he's not going to stop today. He has great plans and purposes, not only for a new lead pastor, but also for you and for this great city and for the Christian Missionary Alliance and for his kingdom around the world, from Germany to Frankenmuth, Michigan. He is the one we celebrate today. He is the one that we worship. And it's the death and resurrection of Jesus that we remember today in communion. I'm going to ask the music team to come up as we get ready to prepare for communion. If you're a follower of Jesus, we invite you to remember what Jesus did. I think the greatest act of God's goodness and faithfulness was not fire from heaven. It was not the parting of the Red Sea. It was not raising the dead. It was when Jesus died. And he said, I love you. He reached out his arms. He said, I love you this much. And he was nailed to a tree because he loves you and me so much. It doesn't matter your language, your background, your country of origin. It doesn't matter your size or age or education. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever follows him, whoever puts their trust in him would not perish but have eternal life. It's all about Jesus, family. For the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, it says on the entryway here, a snippet from the book of Revelation. And I don't want you to ever forget Jesus. In fact, I'm totally okay if you forget me, if you forget Heather. We don't write the mail, we just deliver it. It's all about Jesus. And he was so good and faithful when he looked at humankind and the mess that we made of the world and the mess that we continue to make of the world and said they need some help. He sent Jesus to teach and to heal, to do miraculous things. But his mission was ultimately to die, to take away the sins of the earth. If you are a follower of Jesus, we're going to start with the bread today. And the bread is just, this wafer is just, it's just a symbol. It's just a reminder of the body of Christ that was broken. It was pierced, hands, feet, crown of thorns on his head. Jesus, today we thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your body that was broken. And we eat together in remembrance of you. Let's eat together. And then he took the cup in the middle of what was the Jewish Passover, which he transformed the meaning and significance of. And he had a cup, and he said, this is my blood, which is going to be spilled out, poured out for you. They had no idea, though he told them, they had no idea the sacrifice, the horror that would come as Jesus died. And it was all to take the place, to take the punishment that you and I and each of them deserved. Jesus, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but your blood. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your sacrifice. And we drink together in remembrance of you today. Seat. And I have just a few more things I want to share with you. The first words I spoke to you on this stage as your pastor, I asked this question. I said, why are you here? I want to challenge you with that question. Why are you here? Why are you here on Sunday morning? What is the purpose of First Alliance Church? Why are you here on this planet? Why did God create you? I love, someone once said, the two most important days of your life are the day you're born and the day that you discover why. And I'll just give you a little hint. You were created to worship God. You were created to know and love Jesus and to make him known to the world around us. You were created to go and make disciples of all nations. You were created to restore God's masterpieces. Don't ever forget that. Family, we are on a mission. We're on a mission from God, as the Blues Brothers said so long ago. And it's not about us, it's about him, and it's about connecting our world with him so that all may know that Jesus is Lord, so that all may experience faith, hope, and love, so that all may know meaning and purpose and significance. It might be cliche, but I want to challenge you to go and restore God's masterpieces. That's our mission, and how are we doing? A few years ago, our leaders developed not only a mission statement, but also core values, and I want to just share them with you really briefly to remind you of them, and I believe you're going to be hearing about them in the coming days. But synergy, we collaborate for the sake of the kingdom of God. Missional, we take faith-filled risks launching new ministries to love our neighbors. And I know you got to hear from Will Henderson a couple weeks ago, one of many examples of ministries that have been launched out of First Alliance, and I pray many more will be launched in the coming days. Generosity, that we trust God with open hands and open hearts, and you are a generous people. This is a generous church, not only financially, but with time and talent. I think even about the sports and arts camp a couple weeks ago and just how so many of you volunteered and served and gave yourselves to the next generation. Equipping, we mobilize the next generation to fulfill the Great Commission. And this is so vital to our work here and to the kingdom of God around the world. Faithfulness, this has been our theme today. God is faithful and our response is to be faithful as well. Devoted to prayer, the word of God, and following Jesus. And family, we are a mosaic of people loving God and doing life together. I want to close by saying thank you. There really aren't words. I've been planning for months, like, what do I say? And I think thank you is probably the best thing that I can say. I love you, family. We've been through some wild times together. And I'm just really grateful. I remember when Thomas George told me about the opportunity and invited me to apply, and I'm like, Toledo? The first words out of my mouth, I said, isn't that in Ohio? I mean, I'm telling you, those, if any of you know Thomas, you know, he was a Buckeye that was transplanted to Ann Arbor, and so we were just both fish out of water. I'm like, isn't that in Ohio? And I was like, God, I'm in Ann Arbor. I love Ann Arbor. Everything's good. I don't need another church, another job. And almost 9 years later, I look back and I get it. I understand. Hopefully, Heather and I have been able to add value to your lives and to this church. And certainly, we've been blessed. You try not to cry. We've been really blessed. We love you so much. And like I say, only God could get us to leave this. I know sometimes pastors leave because, well, you know, they can't stand the people, or they get a better job somewhere else, or there's more money, or climbing some ladder. What? None of that is in play here at all. The only reason is that God, just in his plan, he said, your assignment is complete, and I have a new assignment for you, and I have a new lead pastor for First Alliance. I'm going to take care of them. I have to be honest, I wanted to kind of control this whole process. And like, okay, God, who's going to replace me? And I got to do it. And he's like, I've got this. I'm taking care of College First and Finley by sending you there, and I've got plans for First Alliance. So I just want to tell you, family, if you're like, what's happening next? God's got this. God's got this. I gave more than 2 weeks' notice, so, you know, trying to leave well, and I will continue to be. I mean, we're family. Family never changes. You know, our daughter got married, went off and got married and started a family, but we're still family, right? Family's for life. And so this isn't goodbye. It's just see you later. And we're not far. I mean, Finley's less than an hour away. But I will cherish these years together. I'll continue to pray for you as you search for a new lead pastor. And I'll continue to pray my big four for First Alliance Church, for direction, for protection, for unity and passion. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done at First Alliance as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.